Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Monday, February 29th, 2016, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. It's the 29th. It's February 29th, and you know what that means. It's leap year. And I don't know how many of you know this, but there's a cute tradition that comes with this day. Traditionally, and I say that tongue in cheek, it's the day that a woman can ask a man to marry her. You ever heard about that? Yeah, there was a time when women didn't do that. That's changed in today's society for sure, for some folks anyway. But anyway, as tradition has it, that was the day that she could do the asking. Kind of funny to me. Okay, well, my thoughts, and this is just one woman's two cents, that those things work out better if he does the choosing and the asking, but that's just me. But, you know, huge shout out to those women who bow down on one knee and ask that special guy to be their forever love. Whatever works for you, that's what I say. If you're happy, I'm happy for you. But seriously, though, leap year is adding this extra day in February has some big significance. It's a very strategic method for keeping our clocks and calendars in sync with the earth and the seasons and all of that stuff. It's really kind of deep and very mathematical, but if you're interested, you know, look it up. I say it's always great to know a little about a lot of stuff, and this would be one of those things. So, well, I am so glad to be back in the saddle. I had to take a 3-week hiatus. I had a terrible flu, and I mean T-E-R-R-I-B-L-E flu, and it was, oh boy, something to deal with. But great news, I'm better now, and praise the Lord for that. Ready to rock and ready to roll, moving forward. And speaking of moving forward, my guest today is moving forward. He's a gentleman who has been in the entertainment industry, celebrity community, for many years. He's rubbed shoulders with and worked with many of the top names in that field. And his name is Jerry Alex Smith. He's president and CEO of ISEN Group, and that's an acronym for International Sports and Entertainment Network. And as per usual, he has big things on his mind, and we'll be talking about some of those things today. I'm glad to have him as my very special guest today. Welcome, Jerry.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. How are you? How are you this morning?
Well, you know, as I said, I had a rough 3 weeks, and I am not kidding. I never had a flu like that, but I'm so glad to be feeling 100% again and ready to get back to all the things that I do. And so thanks for asking. I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well. And I didn't know about that special day on the 29th. If there's any women out there that, never mind.
Want to holler at you? Okay. You heard it here first, ladies.
Okay.
You heard it here first. So is that something you want me to put out on Facebook? I mean, I can help a brother out.
maybe by the next leap year, we'll work on that.
Okay. Well, at least they know now, right?
Yes, there you go.
Well, it's exciting to be talking to you. I know you've got a lot of history in the sports and entertainment industry, and I want to talk about that. You know, we all usually have some type of interesting beginnings, and so why don't we just backtrack a little bit, and you tell us about how you got started.
Well, it goes back to my college days. I was able to get my first job in college as a college staff writer at the LA Times. And we don't want to say how long ago that was, but I was the first black sports writer at the LA Times as a student staff writer. So
that was
just
big.
A great position. It was big then. And, you know, didn't realize at the time how big it was. And I think that's how it is with a lot of things. We don't realize the impact we're making at the time. But it was significant, and I realized later how significant it was. But it was just a great job, and I enjoyed it, being in college and having that opportunity to kind of open up the doors for people that came after me. So
it sounds like maybe I was going to say, it sounds like you kind of knew that was the direction you were going to take, huh?
Well, you know what? It was. And journalism and broadcasting was not my major in college. My major was health science and biology. I was a science major and had, you know, interest in going into medicine. But my love was sports and I kind of followed that. From there, after finished school, I was able to get into broadcasting and working with ABC Television for a few years in publicity. So my life kind of took a natural change, and I just kind of followed my passion and my interest, and just kind of led me a different way. But I'm glad I had the background in college as a science and biology major, because it kept me grounded. It kept me focused in terms of having a good education, and I think I did. I could have took a few more business classes, but I think I did okay.
Well, you know what? I think it sounds like what you did was a lot more fun than taking care of people that have a real bad flu.
Oh my goodness! Well, you know, I think my brother was in medical school at the time, and I looked around at his friends, and you know, when you're coming up in a home and you have a brother who's going to med school, your mom and dad said, why don't you be like your brother? Why don't you go to med school? And during the time that we were coming up, there was two things that you heard from your parents. Is, be a doctor or be a lawyer. Well, law did not interest me. So I kind of took on trying to be like my big brother and going into med. And a lot of his friends were going into medical school. And so I had a good some good role models. My brother and his friends were academians. Did I say that right? Something like that.
Well, that's always great.
It worked out very well. And so when I got into, when I started working with ABC, my life took a kind of a twist. There was an older gentleman that had was neighbors of mine, my parents and I, who was an entertainer. He was a tap dancer back in the 30s and 40s, and his name was Esden Mosby. And he was in a group called Three Chocolatiers. But he also was the impresario, or the honorary mayor, the then famed Central Avenue part of Los Angeles. And it was the area that all the black entertainers, when they came to L.A., would perform, from the Nat King Cole's to the Duke Ellingtons, that was the area that they could perform in Central Avenue. And he managed a lot of the nightclubs and a lot of the concert halls in which they performed. So during his retirement years, as being neighbors, he kind of took me under his wings once he found out that I had an interest in the entertainment field. And I was able to meet so many people through him and learn about how, if you're going to be in this business, how you kind of had to follow behind those that had laid the way before you. And so he kind of gave me some things to work with and showed me the ropes. And we got involved with another lady who was producing a documentary on black entertainment. And it was called A Silhouette of Black Entertainment, A Silhouette of Black Hollywood. And we produced a TV project, which was nominated for an Emmy Award. We toured the country putting on a show about black entertainment during the 30s and 40s and 50s. And so I really got my feet wet in the entertainment industry. And so I know when I was with ABC for a couple of years, where I wanted to go, it was going to take me 20 years to get there just by working my way up. And this gave me an opportunity to work right at the highest level right from the start. And, you know, having someone that kind of knew the ropes and was on the in crowd, he was able to kind of give me some of the things that I needed going forward. And obviously connected me with some of the right people. So that was kind of the start of me knowing that this is what I wanted to do. And he had a video production company. And when he passed on, he handed me down, or before he passed on, he handed me down his video production company. He said, hey, if when I go on, I want you to, you know, take what I've started and keep it going. And I did. And that was the start of me working with some of these nonprofit organizations, and the start of me, well, as I get into that, the start of me working in video production and in making a
Tell
start.
Us some...
Yes, go on.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just going to say probably what you were going to reflect on. I was going to say, tell us some of the, you know, particulars about some of the projects maybe that you worked on during that time.
Yeah, well I found that the first couple of events, when I talked about video production, we're talking about early 80s, and I wasn't necessarily trying to produce a film or a TV project or then early music videos. My interest was covering some of these big events as media, and because I worked with LA Times, I worked with ABC. So my I guess a little bit of my background was coming from a media angle or a media standpoint. So I looked at cover some of these big events, and the first two or three events that we covered were really big, and they were because he showed me what to look for and how to look for the big things. And so I think it was the second event that we had a chance to cover. It was an event where it was the Medgar Evers Awards, and the people in that room were from Cecily Tyson to Miles Davis to Rosa Parks, Belafonte, Bill Cosby, Sidney Poitier, Stevie Wonder, Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, Muhammad Ali. And it was just an amazing event. And remember, the person that coordinated this event pulled me to the side and said, "Hey, we have every camera crew in the city and nationally here, but we want you inside the ballroom," because he knew I was connected with Esmond Mosby, and it's kind of who you know. So he pulled me in and pulled my crew in and says, "There's no other cameras in this ballroom except for you." And so, and doing a presentation to Bill Cosby from Stevie Wonder, Stevie Wonder said, "This is such an amazing event, and if there's anyone who is videotaping this event today, right now, I will go and perform wherever this video can be shown, because people need to see what happens in rooms like this with so many powerful people and so many people of influence that the average person can't be here, but we can take it to them." And so right after that, we worked on making this happen, making that happen, and we did. And I think at that moment I found my interest and found out exactly what I wanted to do. And I wanted to just keep doing that. And so we did. And,
well, you know, that is really an amazing story. I love it because, you know, your passion and your purpose just kind of all wound up there together and put you in the right place with the right people at the right time. I love it. Now, is that when the whole idea of Eisen Group started to brew?
Well, you know what? It was happening without me really realizing it. And I remember someone asked Muhammad Ali a question. They said, "Muhammad, you did so many wonderful things in your life. Could you have imagined, you know, that the things that you have accomplished?" He said, "There's no way I could have imagined, you know, what I've accomplished. I didn't set out to be the greatest. I just wanted to be the best I could be." And so I think that it kind of rings a bell with how I started. I didn't set out to be the person to cover these events. I was just attracted to them. I was attracted to that ballroom. I was attracted to, but I was also put in a position to know a few of the right people who here in Hollywood. It made me realize a lot of it is who you know. And given opportunities, you have to take advantage of some of the opportunities that you're given and some of the doors that can be opened. And you take it and you run with it. So I just did it. I just did it. And it wasn't until years later I started realizing, I think I got something here. And I just kept on doing it. And so I don't think I set out to you know, think, wow, if I do this for a number of years, I can, you know, have a great story to tell. No, I was living the story. I was just capturing special moments. And but one thing that I did do is after a couple of years, I looked at some of the events that I was attracted to covering, and 90% of them were award shows and galas and things for nonprofit organizations. And so I saw that there was a common theme and a common thread for the type of events I was covering, not so much the Academy Awards or the Emmys or the Grammys, but the things for the United Negro College Fund or the American Cancer Association or things that were raising money and consciousness of people that were supported by major celebrities that just go unheard of, you know, to just and I just looked up. I said, I think I got something here. And there's a common thread that ran through most of the events that I was covering, and it's that they were for nonprofit. And so
yeah,
I realized that.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like to me that, you just didn't know you got pregnant and you had that baby.
That's exactly what happened. I had twins.
Well, here's what I'd like for you to share with us, though. It did become an entity, and you are doing some exciting things going forward with it, I know. But can you just briefly explain right now what your current mission is with it? And then we'll talk about some of those people that you're highlighting. So when you tell somebody about ISIN, What's the mission right now going forward? I know it's your life work, it's your career, it's your baby. So tell us about what the focus is.
Well, a couple of years ago, I was thinking. I was thinking to myself. I said, "Wow, what do I want to do with my life now?" I was 30 years and working, doing the work that I was doing, and I wanted to do more. And I remember almost to the T that I was sitting in my backyard, and I think a rock may have hit me in the head or something. It's ding, and a light went on. and what came to mind was, tell the story of what you've done for the last 30 years. Let's tell that story. And that's where it started. And so ISIN, the name changed. When I first started the company, it was named Westside Enterprises. And about 15 years ago, I changed it to ISIN, which is International Sports and Entertainment Network. But it still did the same type of work. So in sitting there, I said, I need to make sense of what I've done for 30 years. And it's to tell the story of what the rich and famous have done in supporting charity and causes that affect us all. And so that was the basis of it. Let me tell my story. And in doing that, I realized I had hundreds of hours of footage of never before, most of us never before seen footage of people like Michael Jackson, Frank Sinatra, and hundreds of others raising money and awareness for charities and causes from A to Z. But it's some of those special moments, that not the red carpet moments, or the type of footage or moments that you would see on TV. It's them just being themselves, and some funny, some not so funny, and some different, some not so indifferent. But it's rare moments, just like that moment from the first event that I captured, in which our crew was the only crew in the ballroom, and even moments there. We had some moments there with Cosby and Harry Belafonte and Sidney Poitier making fun about Vanity, who was sitting in between Belafonte and Poitier, and Cosby made mention to that. Just things that you, like Stevie Wonder says, that we want to share with people who couldn't be there, so they can kind of be a part of that also. So that's kind of where it started. I thought that it was time for me to make sense of 30 years of my work.
So now I know that you are focusing particularly, and I think it's so very important and exciting. I love all of these organizations who are now coming to the forefront for, you know, as you said a few minutes ago, every cause from A to Z. It's so necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
when those mm-hmm. ideas have been put in your heart and you want to help, you know, I think more and more people are realizing I may be only one man or woman, but I can really help. I can really make a difference. And I'm glad to
right.
see that somebody of your caliber is helping even, you know, those unsung heroes and sheroes who are trying to get something done. You're trying to help them really get more spotlighted so that they can generate the necessary interest and the funds that they need to make things
mm-hmm.
happen that are important to our communities and society right,
right.
now. So that
right.
is that's so fantastic. When we chatted the other day and you told me all about it, I was just so thrilled that I could even do this little bit to put some information out there that would
mm-hmm.
help with that mission. So why don't you
mm-hmm.
you want to get us up to speed, because I know you're posting frequently people who are doing things that maybe a lot of us haven't heard about yet. So is there
mm-hmm.
you know, tell us about a couple of those people. We have about five, 6 minutes that we can chat, and then we're going to wrap up.
Okay. When I started out years ago, there was no social media, and the reach was not as great a reach as it is today. What I've noticed, or what makes up for these successful nonprofits, are three things: corporate sponsorship, celebrity participation, and media involvement. Nonprofits have never been in the business of trying to or having a marketing department or advertising or promotional department. They depend on the media. Well, with social media, we're the new media. We're able to reach, teach, and touch more people than ever before through social media. But social media is now taking a turn also. People are kind of frustrated and kind of reached their limits on what they do with social media. But there's so much more that we can do with social media. I tell people all the time that you and I can post something on social media all day long. We'll get a few hits. But let Beyonce post something. She gets millions of hits. Well, this project is now twofold. In producing this documentary, which that's what we're going to do, is we're producing a documentary of 30 years of never-before-seen footage. We wanted to create a social media movement to help promote it, to show people how they can use social media, what is already here, what they already use, for a greater good, for a common cause, to have a greater voice. There's just so much more we can do with it. So in taking the three things that make for a successful nonprofit, we can be our own media. We can reach the numbers of people if we develop these networking groups, not just trying to do things individually. Post, if you have 100 people posting 100 different things, it connects nothing. But if you get groups of people, 100 people all posting and talking about one thing, you have a greater voice. So that's what we're trying to show. And if you're doing that, if you're developing these groups and these networks to promote causes that affect us all, not to promote your company or promote yourself, but promote causes, then you have a greater reach. People have a greater interest. And then the project being twofold, we can, or working with some of the celebrities we've touched in the past, we can start to pull some of these people back into the picture, because they need to be connected with things that are relevant and that have a lot of meaning outside of what they do from their 9-to-5 or for their work. So
mm-hmm.
it's a social media movement. It's showing people that you do have a social media voice, a social media vote, and your voice and vote can be heard more if you're part of a group that moves things forward with social media. So that's part of the project is developing a group, internet media group, in which we speak as one. We have a larger voice. and it's engaging people to be part of. People want to be heard, and like I say, social media is taking a turn, is turning the corner now, and going forward, it's we're going to have much more impact and influence on social change, because we can rally around things that we all have in common. And it
well, I know we
time.
Certainly need it. We
well,
certainly
it's
need
it's,
it.
Yeah, social media is still very new. And we, I mean, look how far we've come in the last 10, 15 years. You and I met through social media. It's, and the thing about it, you get out of it what you put into it. If you're not looking to get mm-hmm. anything out of it, then you're not going to get anything out of it. You know,
that's true. That's
so
true.
It's a new medium. And me being a media person, I realize it's a medium, and a medium is a platform by which information is transferred. And so we're just trying to give people something that we all to show them that we all have something in common through social media. But we'll get out of it what we put into it. So,
well, it's going to work. I can see where it would work, connecting the celebrities to the community efforts. And more of them are, you know, we get to see they're stepping up. They do have things that are important.
Yeah.
And because they, you know, will do what they do, you know, I'm sure they get approached about a lot of things. But I think this really does create a huge platform for them to, you know, associate themselves with, because, so much of it is just real, real, real necessary. Well, we're getting close mm-hmm. to the end here, and I want to thank you for contributing your information and even associating me with your efforts as well. I do appreciate that. But what I want to make sure that we do, Jerry, is let's lead people to the places where they can follow and get more information about the Eisen Group and the big things that you are doing and the things that you have planned. So tell us what you would like to have them do.
Well, we're on social media. If we have a YouTube channel, and the channel is called Eisen Face to Face, I-S-E-N, Face, F-A-C-E. The number 2, and the word face. So it's Eisen Face to Face. That's our YouTube channel. And you can see some of the videos that we've created and produced in the past. And during the next few months, we'll start putting up clips of some of the vintage footage that we've had over the last 30 years. And so that's one way. We have a like page on Facebook. It's Eisen Group, I-S-E-N Group. You can go there and see some of the latest postings and updates on the project. Or you can go to my Facebook, Jerry Alex Smith, and there's updates there. We have a website, and it's www.isen30.com. And the 30 is 30 years of our work. So it's isen30.com. We have some crowdfunding sites coming soon, but if you go to the website, it will lead you to those crowdfunding sites that will go up in the next couple of days. And also LinkedIn and Twitter and some of the other social media sites will be connected through our website. So we're starting a national media tour probably in about 2 weeks. So if you haven't heard about us through your show or through social media, in the next couple of weeks, you'll be hearing about it through your local TV, radio, or magazine. So,
okay, well, that sounds good. I got about 40 seconds left, and I want to thank you, sir, for such a wonderful interview. Enjoyed chatting with you, and I think you shared some awesome things that will definitely be piquing the interest of the people who listen. So just hang tight. I'm going to close the show, and again, look forward to sharing more information and being involved with this. I want to thank all of you, too, for taking a time out to check out Foxology today. And I'm so glad to be back connected with you. I want to wish you the best of today and hope that you make it an awesome day. And I'm going to look forward to talking to you next time. Next week is Master Your Mindset Monday. You don't want to miss that. Look forward to talking to you then. In the meantime, do it big. Be the best that you can be. Have an amazing day.